In this Sunday's gospel, we are blessed with a lesson of Jesus' baptism. And in that baptism, when Jesus rose from the water, Mark describes it this way. As Jesus was coming up out of the water, he saw heaven being torn open and the Spirit descending on him like a dove. And a voice came from heaven. You are my Son, whom I love. With you, I am well pleased. How absolutely remarkable. Heaven being torn open. And there, for the very first time, we're presented with the incredible presence of Almighty God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. I want to talk about signs. Remarkably, this event is recorded in all four Gospels. In Mark chapter 1, verse 9, John chapter 1, verse 29, Matthew chapter 3, verse 13, and Luke chapter 3, verse 21. And this event is so special that it needed to be included by all of the evangelists, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the gospel writers. If this were today, believe it or not, it would be on every network so that the word would get out. Whether they wanted to put the name of Jesus on the network or not, it would still be there. And so undeniable is this truth. And God stresses the importance that baptism should have in our lives. It also indicates the importance of water in our lives for cleansing, for refreshing, and also for nourishment. In Matthew chapter 3, verses 13 to 17, God the Father spoke, and the Holy Spirit descended like a dove above Jesus the Son. And so the Holy Trinity affirmed the divinity of Jesus. The fact that he is God in the very same water, by the way, that was parted when the Ark of the Covenant in the book of Joshua, when the priests touched their feet as they were carrying the Ark of the Covenant, the water rolled back just like it did for the Red Sea. And these were the children of God going into the promised land. Joshua chapter 3 has that whole story. God was giving Israel and us a reminder that they were entering the promised land the very same way they left slavery, as is recorded in the book of Exodus. And they went on dry ground through the Red Sea by his sign, by his miracle, and by his power. This event took place just north of the Dead Sea, across from Jericho. It was the very same water that two other events happened. Incredible events. Elijah, the prophet, just before the fiery chariot came down to take him home, he took off his mantle and he touched the water of the Jordan and he walked across as it parted for dry land. And then after he went on his chariot, as is recorded in the book of Kings, in 2 Kings chapter 2, Elisha, that was Elijah's understudy, he took the mantle and he touched the water and it separated again and he walked across on dry ground. And this is the way it reads in 2 Kings chapter 2, verse 14. And when he also had struck the waters, they were divided here and there, and Elisha crossed over. These were times that God parted the waters, once at the Red Sea and three times at the Jordan River, as a sign of his presence and his power, covering his people. And now we read about something happening with John the Baptist, and it gives further proclamation of Jesus' identity, assuring us who he is. This is not just some nice story. Again, it was in all four Gospels. This time at the spot in the Jordan, directly across from Jericho, where those other events took place, the waters weren't parted, but instead the heavens were. And the Holy Spirit descended upon Jesus. And God the Father spoke. This was no ordinary place. And this, as we well know, is no ordinary man. God the Father was speaking as a sign that pointed directly to his Son, Jesus. And God the Holy Spirit appeared as the sign of a dove above him, which also pointed to Jesus. Clear evidence that Jesus is the promised Messiah, God's anointed Son, who would carry our sins to the cross and teach us how to live. My friends, we simply cannot escape the signs that God gives to us. Isn't it remarkable how God works? In all of the Gospels, we see again and again, we can't escape it, we see signs. The Greek word used in the New Testament for sign is semeion. Now, why do I bring that up to you? Because that word not only means sign, but it also means wonder. And it's the word for miracle. That sign. Now, you might be saying, well, how come that word has many uses? Well, when you translate it in English, it has many uses. Just like the word love. There are three different uses for the word love. You've got philo, which is brotherly love. You have eros, which is bodily love. And you have agape, which is godly or unconditional love. Well, here, this semeion, if you read the Gospels, there are signs all over the place. All over the place. We encounter sign after sign, all pointing to the fulfillment of prophecy, the identity of Jesus, and God's most wonderful plan of salvation for those who he loves, and will ultimately point to the cross. In John's Gospel, John the Baptist proclaims Jesus to be the Lamb of God. Now, many of us have heard and are very familiar with the term Lamb of God, and it's significant. John the Baptist himself would be a sign pointing away from himself and pointing towards Jesus specifically as God's sacrificial lamb. Right here he tells us not only who Jesus is, but he also tells him why he must die in such a sacrificial death on the cross for the sins of the whole world. Now, my friends, that's a wonder. That's a sign. That's a miracle in itself. Only God could pay the perfect price so that he could provide perfect justice and free us from our sins as the ultimate and perfect atonement. John the Baptist simply testified to what he witnessed, to what he saw, and what he heard, that Jesus, as the Messiah, would baptize with Holy Spirit. Most Jewish groups in Jesus' time believed that the Holy Spirit was not as active in prophetic inspiration as it was in the Old Testament. They felt God had stopped speaking to them through his Holy Spirit. When the last Old Testament prophets, Haggai, Zechariah, and Malachi, died. For many people who listened to John's claim that through Jesus the Holy Spirit was present and that Jesus would be baptizing people with the Holy Spirit, it must mean one thing, that the Messiah had come or was near. Jesus didn't officially begin his public ministry until John the Baptist had been put in prison. Do you remember John's words? After me comes a man who has a higher rank than I, for he existed before me. John was physically born first. You remember his mother Elizabeth was pregnant when Mary came to visit. And the child leapt in her womb at the presence of our Lord Jesus in Mary's womb. That in itself is a sign for us of Christ's identity as the Messiah. But my point is that John's words, after me, I believe signified that Jesus would begin his ministry after John. Right after his baptism, Jesus would go off into the wilderness and fast for 40 days and 40 nights, where he was tempted but did not sin, by Satan. And following Jesus' temptation in the wilderness, he went to the Galilee region, where he grew up, and he met the beginning of the 12 disciples at Capernaum, where they lived and worked as fishermen. Jesus went to the Galilee, where his ministry would have its formal beginning. He was prepared by his baptism in the Jordan and the temptation in the wilderness, and now, my friends, the stage is fully set. Word would come that John had been arrested, and therefore the work of the one who prepared the way was complete. Jesus goes to Nazareth and Capernaum besides the sea. And he begins to proclaim the presence of the kingdom of God by word and by deed or action. As Matthew writes, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and healing of every kind of disease and every kind of sickness among the people. What did we hear this morning that Sam read from Isaiah? That he would be a light to the Gentiles, open eyes that are blind, free captives from prison, and release from the dungeon those who sit in darkness. That was the prophecy that Jesus would fulfill. John the Baptist was telling people to repent, to turn away from their behavior, for the kingdom of God was near. And I do believe that Jesus is saying the very same thing. Jesus is a great light who appears to those in darkness. What a sign. Is it any wonder? And in closing, there would be one more time where God the Father would speak similar words to the world. And that was on the mountain of transfiguration, where he took Peter, James, and John, the inner circle, in a mountain in the north of Israel. And here's the words as recorded by Matthew. And a bright cloud enveloped them, and a voice from the cloud said, "This is my Son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased. Listen to him." Matthew chapter 17, verse 5. Now, it just makes me wonder why the world has such a hard time taking those words and those signs to heart and doing what they say. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.